Blog Talk Radio.
Believing ones have been afforded the greatest opportunity in life, that is, to be servants of the living God. And we have been afforded this great privilege through the finished work of Christ Jesus. He is the Savior. He is the rescuer, the one who has rescued us out of sin and death. And so therefore, you and I have the opportunity to no longer be the servants of sin and the flesh or the sarx. Now, the Greek New Testament does not use the term sin nature when talking about believing ones, because Christ Jesus has come to live in the heart of the believer. And you and I have been baptized into Christ, that is, the body of Christ, and into Christ, the head. And so we have a brand new life. There has been this hiatus with the old, with the life of sin. I stated in the last show that the believer cannot say or should not say that I am a sinner saved by grace. And once again, the New Testament does not speak of the sin nature. What the New Testament does speak about is the sarx, that is, the flesh. And so to overcome the flesh, or to supplant the flesh, that we might live lives holy unto God, we are told by Paul that we are to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin. That is, in fact, you and I are dead to the practice of sin. We are dead to the old ontology of sin, that way of being it gone. It is over. And so, through the power of the indwelling Spirit, you and I can reckon, that is, count on the fact that this is indeed true for us. And it is true for us because of the finished work of Jesus. In Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 11, that is, verses 11 through 14, Paul speaks of this. He writes in verse 11, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord," or the Lord of us. "Let not sin," verse 12, "therefore reign," that is, reign as king in your mortal body, "that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Here is a wonderful piece on behavioral medicine for the believer. Paul speaks of our otherness. He speaks of our power. He speaks of the living mandate inherent in our new life, and that is to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That is, count on this as a reality. Now, yes, 1 John chapter 1 talks about believers who believe and who think that they no longer sin. Now, John is writing to let believers understand that we do sin occasionally. And when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the righteous. So 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, he is a propitiation for our sin. And so also 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because when we sin, sin leaves a wound that must be cleansed with the blood of the Savior. So, back to Romans. And so, in verse 12, Paul writes, this is Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign. And this, he begins the sentence with a prohibition that forbids an action already going on. And he gives it in the present imperative for believers. These words should change our lives when we think about them, when we meditate upon them, when we consider the poignancy, when we consider the depth, the boldness, the courage, and the reality of what Paul is speaking of. There's to be that break with the habitual, with habitual sinning. That habit has to be broken. There are passions that have to be surrendered to God, not hidden, because we can't hide anything from God. Psalm 91 talks about how our secret sins are open scandal to heaven, and in heaven God knows all about us. We cannot have secret sins. We deceive ourselves when we believe we have secret sins, or a sin that others may not know, but God already knows. When we practice sin, we hide sin, we hold on to sin. When our lives are buried in lust, pornography, drugs, affairs, the desire to be apart from our mate, anger, resentment, bitterness, these things make us ineffective. So God has provided a way for us to be free. Now, he writes, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust. The church today no longer discusses lusts or lust patterns. Epithumia is the word that's in the Greek. It means all types of lust. And this is a very important term. Now, counselors may not use it, therapists may not use it, but the Bible does use it because the Bible recognizes us holistically. The Bible knows us. There's nothing we can hide about ourselves. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to divide in asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner or judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows this completely. The book of Jeremiah talks about the deceitfulness of the heart. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all others. But the believer has been given a new life in Christ, a new way of being, a new way of seeing. Our eyes have been anointed with the eye salve of righteousness, and now we see some of the wonders that that God has done for us. He goes on, verse 13, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Now, our members refers to what? It refers, of course, to the physical body. We're not to sin with our bodies. We're not to have affairs. We're not to pollute our bodies with drugs. We're not to pollute our bodies with illicit relationships or with pornography. We're not to pollute ourselves. We belong to God. God lives in our hearts. We're to be cognizant of that. That should be a primary awareness or understanding that God lives in our heart. So therefore, we want to live lives that are well-pleasing to God. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. So the word members, that you your members as instruments, the Greek word is hopla. And it is very interesting because the word hopla means instruments of war. Instruments of war. War against whom? War against ourselves, war against other believers. We're going to have to do that. Because this is highly destructive. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. Our bodies become sacred vessels. Our minds become sacred instruments because of Christ Jesus. We are to understand sanctification, what it means, that is being set aside unto God. Verse 13, after the colon, reads, but yield yourselves unto God. Here's the beginning, but yield. And here, this is an aorist imperative. At a point in time, we give ourselves to God. We become His. We understand. This is a once and for all act, but yield yourselves to God. As those that are alive from the dead, or out from the dead, the necron, and your members as instruments, or hopla, or instruments of war for God, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, our members have a holy purpose to be used of God, to be used by God. And now we can understand the application to Ephesians chapter 6. Paul speaks about the armor of God. Ladies and gentlemen, fellow leaders, we're the holy individuals. We're to be holy persons. Our tongues must be holy. Our eyes must be sanctified in this highly polluted culture, this culture of contagion, this culture of disease that wants us to look at their excessive way of parading themselves and the pollution that greets our ears, the negativity, the lie. All these things will be reviewed by God one day at the Great White. Live for God. We are His servants. We are His children. Good evening. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you.